This is a now time. This is a now time that we're living in. You know what? Praise and worship. Thank you. You guys are wonderful. Thank you for partnering with us and doing this. I just want to ask Mary to come up. Are you ready? Nancy, come on up here.
Intercessors, this is our hour. Every one of you that has been called right here today, you represent the state of Alaska. You come from every village. You come from every area. We're going to carry the state. We're going to carry us into what God's doing now. It is absolutely essential and crucial that in this hour today, this weekend, as we get to visit together, that you come up another step into your calling and how God equipped you in the seasons for the last years and to stand guard and to stand strong against what the enemy would want to do through other spirits to take our state by political spirits, by religious spirits, etc. You must stand strong. We're going to stand strong together. It's a warrior anointing. It's a warrior intercession. You will not back up. You will not step back. You will stand strong on what God has put in you for this hour.
Ooh, dynamite does come in small packages. That's a true word from the Lord. Can you hear me? Okay, good, good, good. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to bless the people this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you open their ears that they might hear that which is important for them, each one. Lord, I pray that you will anoint the word, that it'll come forth with such a touch of God on it that it'll transform us from the inside out. And Father, I thank you for these precious people who have gathered, men and women, young and old, all different ethnicities and genders. I'm grateful for the Kingdom Church. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this is war. This really is war. Eleanor and I went to a prophets gathering. We belong to a national gathering of prophets. We meet down in Texas once a year to wait on the Lord to deliver the word of the Lord for the year, what we hear the Lord speaking to our hearts for the year. And this year was particularly powerful when we were there. And one of the things that came forth so strongly is that this is war. Eleanor saw war horses coming. A number of the prophets saw war horses. And I had a word from the Lord where God said repeatedly with great strength, this is war. He was not mincing his words and being politically correct. You know, God is not politically correct. You do know that. I mean, he just speaks the truth. That's a part of who he is. He is truth. And he doesn't play games. Well, he has fun with us. But you know what I mean? He doesn't play games. There's no guile in him. You know that word guile actually carries a connotation of laying a snare with words? Laying a snare. If you watched any of the debates, the Republican debates or the Democratic debates, it was filled with guile. I mean, the moderators were laying snares for every candidate to try to snare them with words and try to get them to say something so they could attack them. That's guile. But do you remember when Jesus saw Nathanael under the tree? And he said to him, I saw you under that tree. You are an Israelite Indeed, in whom is no guile. He did not use his words to snare people or trip them up. He was straight talking. And that's what God wants from us, straight talk. The problem when you come out of a background that has some abuse in it, you learn how to shuck and jive to get around the truth so that you're not in trouble. Isn't that right? I mean, it's just a natural human pattern of survival technique. However, God is cleansing us and changing us from those old patterns. And he's causing us to have the truth inside of us. Listen, guard your heart diligently, for out of it are the issues of life. And when you find yourself saying a half-truth because you're afraid, God understands that. Simply repent and ask him to help you speak the truth with love. Don't forget those words, with love. I felt the Lord had given me a message this morning. He has me studying the book of Esther. And in Esther, I'm discovering all kinds of wonderful things. Number one, he showed me three seasons for Esther that she was in. Esther 2, she waited patiently. Esther was an obedient child. She was beautiful. You know, the king's queen Vashti had been removed because she refused the king's command to come present herself before the court. She was disobedient. Her heart was not right. Now, the king was looking for a new queen. And Esther was a young girl. She wasn't 30, trust me. She was probably in her teens, most likely young. But she had learned obedience. She'd suffered. Her mother and her father had died. She was an orphan. So she knew abandonment and loss. But there was one person in her life that was faithful, an uncle. I love faithful relatives. I had an aunt in our wild alcoholic household with cops and guns and blood and knives, etc., doors breaking down. I had one faithful relative, my aunt Vesta Scott. And she knew Jesus. She smelled good. She always dressed so nicely. And she'd always sit me down and talk to me about honor and destiny and who I was. And I was just a little girl. But instead of listening to all these chaotic voices around me, I listened to the stable voice that would come occasionally and speak into our lives. The day came, my aunt lived in a different city, when my aunt and uncle were in prayer and the Lord told them to move to Ketchikan because the family needed them. Now that was a sacrifice. Because the family at that time was really not doing well. In fact, the family was doing very poorly, and it was a sacrifice for my aunt and uncle to move to Ketchikan. But they obeyed the Lord. I want to tell you, one of the most important things you can do in your life is to obey the Lord. He will give you some hard instructions. I remember a crossroad in my life when, oh my goodness, God was giving me a choice to stay or go in a situation. Everything in me wanted to go. That was the easier way. Plus, I was sure mad. And when I get mad, I can really get mad. I'm a pretty calm person until I get mad, so don't make me mad. And I knew God was asking a hard thing of me because I asked him. He let me choose. And he said he would bless me either way. If I stayed or went, he would bless me. And do you know what came to mind? My aunt and uncle, and the hard choice they had. They had to uproot and move to be in the middle of a chaotic drunken, violent family scene. And they chose to obey God. And I'm here because of that. And at that point in my life, when God was giving me a choice to go or stay, to escape, man, I wanted to escape. But I chose the harder path. And I knew God would help me. And I'll tell you what, that's when at some point I cried out, save me! Because I didn't think I could do it. But God, He was faithful. He was there. Right at that crux. And here was Esther. She's been in a year of preparation and purification. That purification means she was scrubbed. It was not just a gentle thing. She was scrubbed with harsh abrasive. She was soaked in oils. She was pampered for all of this tremendous preparation. 1 year, she obeyed every instruction without complaint. She had already learned to submit because of Mordecai. Now, the name Mordecai means a little man, bruising, bitterly reduced, oppressive. It really is a picture of Jesus who became sin for us. He suffered oppression. She was put into the care of a eunuch. You know what a eunuch is? A eunuch is a man who has been castrated so he could be trusted to take care of the virgin women that were prepared for the king. These were men who had paid a heavy price. And this was not a gentle scene. Sometimes because we're Americans, we think in terms of gentleness and sweetness and safety. And we forget the reality of life is brutal. I mean, I listened to the interrogation of an Islamic woman, and the journalist was trying to tell her that the problems they're having is because of America and England. And she said, wait a minute. We have been shedding blood, beheading people, mutilating them for 1,400 years. And America was not around then. This is in our culture. And there's something wrong with the culture. And I thought, God is waking people up to reality, to truth. In every generation, I believe there is a truth going out. And their eyes are starting to open to the lies that they've believed. I want all of you to be truth tellers. To have your eyes open. Be truthful about yourself. Hey, none of us are perfect. It's okay to be truthful about yourself. I mean, I'll tell you some stories if you want to know some stories. I've had some bitter failings. Oh, baby girl, I'll tell you stories, sugar. She raised her hand over here. Oh, my goodness. We are... I want to tell you something God taught me. He loves my humanity. He loves my humanness. I go to Him again and again, oh, Father, there I am, I'm being human again. And He starts to laugh. You know why? He knows I'm human. He made me this way. He made you the way you are. Does that mean you can continue in sin? No. But it means that you are not condemned because of the sin. The blood of Jesus Christ totally cleansed you, totally changed you. You are fully accepted exactly the way you are. And when I blow it sometimes, I just go to the Lord. It renders my heart. Something happens to my heart. And I'll go to the Lord. And I'm grieved because I've done something wrong. And I say, Father, my humanity tripped me up again. And there He is saying, it's okay. I paid the price for your humanity. Cover me with the blood, Jesus. Help me not to do it again. Listen, it's a beautiful process. But it's a part of being real. Part of the hard things we have to face when we've grown up in a household that's been really abusive and violent is we become afraid to tell the truth. And so we hide the truth from ourselves and from others. But this is not one of those times. This is a new season we're in. That's part of that first season of preparation, that season when you learn obedience, when you're being scrubbed and changed until finally you trust him enough to speak the truth to him. Or you trust your spouse enough to speak the truth to them. Or you trust your children enough to speak the truth to them. Or you trust yourself enough to speak the truth to yourself. And you accept yourself the way you are. Come on, you are beautiful people. You are saved. You're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. You're going to heaven. You're going to be with Jesus forever. We have a party waiting for us. There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow. He will wipe away every single tear. He saves our tears in a bottle. Did you know that? He saves it in a vial. They're precious to him. He's going to do something very holy with every tear that you shed. Even the ones you've never allowed yourself to shed, that are locked up in your heart. He is unlocking those tears because he needs them. He needs them. Here she is. She's been weeping. She has to deal with this Haggai. She learned to submit. Now listen to what the lexicon said about the name Haggai, this eunuch. He was venerable. So I looked up the word venerable. It means someone high up in a religion, usually a Christian. I thought that was an interesting interpretation. Deserving of respect because of status or age. All right, you old geezers. I want everybody 70 and above to stand up. Come on, stay standing. Whoa. We honor you. We honor you. You are deserving of respect. The Word of God tells us to honor our elders. That is such a strong thing in our native culture, that we honor and respect our elders. It's really based on Scripture. But in the Western culture, that has not translated well. Because the enemy tries to dishonor. You know, that's part of his nature, is a dis. That's why when, if you hear about some altercations in a police conflict or something, and the victim will say, well, he dissed me. What he's saying is he dishonored me. He shamed me. He tried to emasculate me. And something in the spirit rises up against that. Because God created man to be honored and respected. We should honor and respect people. I want to tell you a story. I'm going to tell a story on my friend Eleanor. I don't like conflict. I've been in enough of it in my life. Eleanor and I went out to get a bite to eat. And the waitress was dissing us. And it was obvious. I thought, did we do something wrong? I was trying to, so here I am. I'm trying to blame us. And Eleanor got mad. So Eleanor spoke the truth to this lady and said, you are treating us wrong. Have we done anything wrong to offend you? You are dissing us. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Oh, no, no. And she walked away, turning her back on us. She was very rude. Now, normally, I just think, oh, she's got a problem. But Eleanor wouldn't let go of it because she deserved to be treated with respect and I deserve to be treated with respect. She wasn't unkind. She'd already addressed it directly with this lady, and she did it very well. She wasn't yelling, she wasn't upset, angry, but she was direct. So we took it to the next higher level and spoke to the manager. And then we filled out the form. There was something about the way she held her and I in respect that was godly. You deserve to be respected and treated with respect. It's not that you're being prideful. It's not that you think you're better than anyone else. It has nothing to do with that. It's because you are a blood-bought child of God, and there's great value in you. I want you to respect yourselves. I want you to see yourself as someone who deserves to be treated with respect. And if someone is not treating you with honor and respect, see, that's in our culture now, in America. We do not respect the elders. We do not respect those who are different than us. We do not respect those that we judge coming out of a wrong background. I came out of a wrong background. How many of you have come out of a wrong background? Look at that, a majority of people in the room. I mean, it just is a part of life. But we are a people of honor and integrity. Let us respect one another. Give honor to whom honor is due. Honor those, especially those who labor in the word. Do you know that word honor also means wealth? It's tied in with offerings. Isn't that interesting that God would do that? That he would tie that into offering. That's why I get invited all over to speak. I've been speaking now for buku years, 20-some years. Actually, probably 30, 40-some years. We won't go there. But whenever I go someplace, normally I'm given an offering. But there have been some times when I have worked my little heart out and didn't get a dime. That's okay. My account's kept in heaven. But I felt dishonored. I felt not valued. Anytime you are using someone else's service, pay them. Honor them. That's a way of honoring them. A workman is worthy of his hire. Pay the workman, whomever you are connected with. Honor, honor, honor. Be a people of honor. Give. I mean, you are so different from the earth. You are swimming against the stream in America. But that's part of the characteristic of a kingdom person. Someone who belongs to the kingdom. Someone who is reflecting their Father, Jesus Christ. I tell you what, we have a reward waiting for us. I mean, for Pete's sake, the pavement in heaven is gold. Stop holding on to it so tightly. Got to have this dime. Lock my pocket away. I'm not taking an offering. Just cool your jets. Cool your jets. I'm just talking about honor here. I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but God needed to give that to somebody. This was her season of preparation. And in that season of preparation, it took her 1 year scrubbing. It was difficult. She learned obedience. And because she learned obedience in her season of preparation, she was ready for promotion. Now, because I'm the oldest daughter, I had to hesitate for a moment to consider whether or not to say this. Because I'm the oldest daughter in our family, the oldest girl, we are a matriarchal society. I'm half Haida. The Haida tribe is a very warlike tribe. You've probably already guessed that. All right, Jack. I've repented. And I'm still warlike. Just in my DNA. But the oldest girl, because it's a matriarchal society, the oldest girl carries the weight of responsibility for the whole family. Anything goes wrong, it's her fault. Anybody gets in trouble, it's her fault. And I'm in this wild family with some wild brothers whom I loved with a passion. They were always getting in trouble, which meant I had to bear the weight of that. Lot of discipline. And I was sharing, someone had been interviewing me because they're writing a story about me. And she's someone in Canada, and she said, your mother gave you a gift, didn't she? And I said, she did? Because my mom was real, real strong disciplinarian. And she said, yes, she gave you the gift of obedience. And just like that, my eyes opened. The years of difficult preparation, that hard upbringing, that was your training for obedience. You learn to obey. Sometimes it was harsh. I've survived harsh. I'm still standing. And I'm kind of a sweet lady. You know, isn't that right, Norma? Yeah, Norma's known me a long time. But I learned that through that difficult time of obedience. God wants you to surrender. I can't tell you the times I've had to wrestle my soul into obedience to God because my soul wanted to run into sin. And I had to hold it steady until the rage passed. You know what I'm talking about? Suddenly that anger and that you want to go out and do something bad. And you wait until that passes. And you're wrestling your soul into obedience. One time, I was struggling so much because I had been so dissed, so mistreated. And I'm talking about some people in the church, leadership in the church in particular. But I'd been so mistreated, and I was simply ticked off. And I went to talk to a friend of mine, and I told her I was wrestling. Pray for me. And I said, I just want to sin. And she said, well, how will you sin? What will you do to sin? And I said, well, I'll go to college. I wasn't even a good sinner anymore. My soul wanted so badly to do its own thing. But somehow in that crucible of my upbringing, I had learned obedience. And when I said that, I started to laugh and I realized that I just can't even sin. It's not that I'm perfect, I just can't. I can't do it. It's not in me. Come on. It's not in you. Make a determination no matter what. It's not in you. You'll not go back to those drugs. You won't go back to that alcohol. You might want to swear, lock yourself in the bathroom, turn on the shower, and jump in the shower and start swearing. Then get out of the shower, dry yourself off, fall on your knees, repent, and go on. You know what I'm talking about? Wrestle with your soul. Come on. Whoa. This season of preparation is crucial to you. It's crucial that everybody goes through it. Everybody. One way or the other. I cannot deliver you out of that. Did you know you can't deliver someone out of the hand of the Lord? And sometimes they're in that press because they've made some poor choices. Or their children have made poor choices. You can't deliver them out of that. They will have to wrestle through the situation, holding on to the word of the Lord until it lifts, until you have the breakthrough, until you get the victory. And that thing will never have victory over you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Always remember that. I give praise to the Lord that my mother was the kind of a mother she was, because I would not be here if it had not been for her. I probably would have followed the same path that my brothers were taking, all of whom died young, by the way, all of whom died rather violently. But somehow I made it because of Jesus. You can make it. You can overcome. Whatever that is that you're struggling with right now, you can overcome. God will help you. He will be with you. You can't deliver someone else. I can't deliver my granddaughter out of her situation. But I can walk with her. I can say, baby, trust God. Baby, we're going to make it. Let's pray. I can cry with her. I can hold her. I can tell her about Jesus. I cannot deliver her. I cannot make her choices for her. Whenever you begin to make choices for adult children, you make them weak. Come on. And then for the rest of their lives, they will have to have you making their choices, or worse yet, somebody else making their choices. And the devil would make sure someone comes in to make wrong choices for them. Don't do that to your kids. Whoa. All right, this isn't even my message. God must want me to share this. Okay, she comes into a season of promotion. She finds grace and favor because she's learned obedience. Now she smells good. Her presence to the king is wonderful. She's come into a place of favor with the king and with his servants. She has, listen to this, excellent speech. Excellent. You look at the root of those words. She has excellent speech. Her words. She doesn't run off at the mouth. Come on, ladies. This usually is a female problem, guys, but not always. I was in a room one time with this couple, and he was so gracious, and everybody loved him, and he was so mad at her, he started running at the mouth and tearing her down, and then he tried to stop, and he couldn't. That blankety blank stone, then time, time. And he's looking at me because he knows I'm a Christian. He's trying to impress me, and here he couldn't stop his mouth. Finally, he turned all the way out of the room. That blankety blank, that don't, blah, blah, blah. He could not stop his mouth. I had a friend that was like that, but she turned to the Lord. She was, her mouth, she was doing, biting at her husband. And her heart was saying, stop it, stop it, stop it. And she couldn't control her mouth. You know, the tongue is an unruly evil. The Bible speaks about it. It's set on fire. It's set on the fires of hell, the tongue. You know why? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Therefore, the enemy tries to get you to run off at the tongue, out of control. That's one of the biggest battles we have to overcome. And my friend finally left the room, fell on her face, and began to fast and pray until she got control of that tongue. Lord, put a guard on my mouth that I might not sin against thee. And she learned something. Esther learned that. She was a woman of excellent speech. And because she'd come into that time of excellent speech, she came to a season of promotion. Now, while she comes to this season of promotion, something else is happening. In Esther 3, it says that power is granted to Haman. Now, here comes another actor on the stage. His name is Haman. Haman hates the Jews. He's anti-Semitic. He's a wicked man. And he is the one that is coming against the people of God. That word Haman. Has anyone ever looked up what the word Haman means? A rager, a destroyer. He was in Esther's life. Do some of you have a rager in your life? The enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Oh. I'm coming. Okay. I want everyone here to listen to this. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the thief you get out of this place. I bind you from every person here. You have no authority over any soul present. I rebuke you and command you to go. You will not lay hold of their heart. You will not lay hold of their pocketbook. You will not lay hold of their possessions. You will not touch their families, their children, their grandchildren. I rebuke you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get out of here. I bind that thief now. I bind that thief. There has been a thief working in this place, and I want to tell that person, whoever stole that blouse yesterday, you return that blouse. You return it. Come on. You're in danger. I'll tell you that right now. It wasn't my blouse, but it belonged to a prophet. Woo! Stop it. Haman is in the midst. Haman is a rager. He's a destroyer. And he has set his heart to destroy God's people. Now, because Esther had survived that first part of preparation, she's now in a season of challenge. There's an enemy functioning in the camp. He is here's Haman's characteristics. He wants to be next to the one in power. Have you ever noticed some people always want to sidle up to the one who has authority? They want to get next to the one in power. It's amazing to me. I have watched them in awe. Because that doesn't even cross my mind. I don't care. I'm already a brother to the King of the universe. Why do I want to come up next to someone in power in the natural? They're going to give me something? He's given me everything. But there are people who will jockey for position. Eleanor put it very eloquently one time, because God spoke this to her. He spoke to her about the race. And he said, there are those who are racing to the top. I'm number one. Can't be number two. They're racing to the top. God has called us to race to the finish. And we link arms with one another. Have you ever seen that commercial? And it's about a Down's children in a race. And one of the children stumbles and falls. And all the racers go back. They pick him up, link arms with him. And with great joy, the whole line of them race to the finish. That's us. I'm your little Down's child. And when I stumble, come pick me up and start racing with me. Don't yank the baton out of my hand and race to the finish. It is not a baton race. Every young person in this room, this is not a baton race. You cannot take my baton and count me out of the race. We are either finishing it together or we're not finishing. I believe this. I mean, we are a youth-oriented culture in America. And we've cheated our young people out of the wisdom and the strength of the older generation. That's why honoring is coming back to the church. And God is speaking to the church about honoring. Because we have to honor every culture. We have to honor every gender. We have to honor every age. Because we will finish it together. You cannot finish the race alone, or you will be crippled going across that finish line. You'll make it. We're all going to make it to heaven one day. But I want to go in with the whole crowd of you. I don't want any of you left behind. You're not going to leave me behind, Kay. She's got wisdom. I love to sit and listen to Joe. Man, does this woman have wisdom. Not only that, she's so much fun. Link arms. Find someone of a different age group and begin to cultivate the relationship with them. Robert, Eleanor, and I are good friends. And we are in different generations. And there are times when I can see the generation gap and it makes me laugh. I was down at the Apple store the other day because Robert talked me into getting an iPhone. So this young, sharp guy is helping me. And he's giving me all these instructions. And I took his arm and I said, listen, baby. You know, when you're my age, you can call the guys baby. Listen, baby, I don't have a clue what you just said. Today's my birthday. Thank you. Well, it's yesterday, but I'm 72. Thank you. And I don't have a clue what you just said. Break it down for me. And so he did. And I just gave him a hug and thanked him. Listen, we have to link. I want to learn from our young people. I love to be around young people. I love their energy. I love their challenging thoughts. I love that they think differently. They're a different generation. My generation was really trained differently in relationships, and their generation is very different, much more real, much more accepting. And we have something to learn from them. But here's Esther. I keep getting off my topic, sorry. Here's Esther. She's moved into a season of promotion. And when she moved into a season of promotion, she suddenly has to deal with a big demon in the midst of the camp. And his name is Haman. I want you to look at this. There are demons that control people. When someone gives themselves to seeking power and authority, the only way they can come into it outside of God is through a demon. Therefore, you're dealing with the demonic realm. Don't be afraid of the demonic realm. It's real. But you have greater power. Remember? Can someone give me a scripture that proves that? Absolutely. I have given you all power and authority over serpents and scorpions. And over all power of the enemy. Do not be afraid of the devil. Remember, itty bitty devil, great big God. Keep that straight. He is not a God. He is a fallen angel, a created being, and he was defeated 2,000 years ago, and the victory was given to you. And the reason that we have these wicked things around is because this world has fallen into judgment and sin, but we have the assignment and the authority to cleanse our sphere and to drive out every evil spirit. And to get victory, victory, victory. You know, the scriptures in Revelation, the book of Revelation, talks to the seven churches. And it tells them what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong. And then it says, he who overcomes, they'll stand, they'll have their names written in white, they'll have a new stone, it tells them what they have. That word overcome is the Greek word nikao, N-I-K-A-O for you scholars. Nikao literally means conquerors or conquered. That means in order to conquer, you have to fight something to conquer. And God allows you to have the privilege of a battle so that you can win the victory. Come on. Come on. Don't run from the battle. Remember what David did when he was just a little boy? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And he took up what he had in hand, a sling and a little rock, a stone. And he ran toward the giant. This is the hour to run toward your giant. What is that giant? What are the giants? Come on, tell me what the giants are. Unemployment, that's a giant. Sickness, specifics. Cancer, Multiple sclerosis. I was healed of multiple sclerosis, you know. That's a totally incurable disease. Is God greater than incurable diseases? That giant has to come down. What else? Come on. Fibroid disease. Broken relationships. Fear. That's a biggie. Suicide. That's another biggie. Alcohol. Addictions. Yes. Poverty. That's a big giant. You start commanding that spirit to leave your home. Financial. Yes, that's tied in with poverty. Yes. Unemployment. Unbelief. That's a big enemy. This kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. He was talking about that spirit of unbelief. Come on. Oppression, depression, hopelessness, mammon, fear, yep. You're getting the picture. Who is this uncircumcised giant that he would dare to challenge me? You need to, something in you has to stand up, plant your feet, and say, this is who I am. And announce who you are. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? When the people tried to drive out these evil spirits, they weren't Christians, these people. And these spirits turned and beat on them and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? I had someone slip notes in my pocket. They were so afraid of having to deal with an evil spirit. And the note said, oh, Mary, you better not attract the enemy's attention. He's going to go after you. In the meantime, he knows my name. The minute I accepted Jesus Christ, he got afraid. Because all of a sudden there was a warrior growing up, ready to face him. So there came a time when I planted my feet and I said, devil, I'm coming against you. My name is Mary Abby Skulka Brandes Hawkins Glazier Healing Jot. And I'm standing in the name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Get a little chutzpah on your belly. Know who you are and know who he is in you. I tell you what, Esther, when she finished that preparation, suddenly there's an enemy in the midst. And the one thing I found interesting, this enemy had written decrees. He lies, he undermines, he tries to tear you down. This enemy, Haman, hated Mordecai. And he began to talk to the king about Mordecai. And he was giving half-truths. What's that called? Guile. Yes, lies. But he was guile. He had guile. He was laying snares for Mordecai's feet to trip him up. I've had people do that to me. Whisper, oh, Mary, she's out of the race. Or whatever. Guile. Now, this is in the church, laying snares. Recognize a characteristic of your enemy. Guard your heart diligently, for out of it are the issues of life. The enemy will not take you down. Hurt, you can get over hurt. Sting, you can get over stinging. Find people who are faithful to link arms with. I'll tell you what. Haman took 1 year of preparation also. That means the whole time Esther's in preparation, Haman also had 1 year of preparation. He wrote decrees against the Jews. The enemy has written decrees against you and against me. And while I've been in preparation, there was a battle coming because the enemy had made a decree that in 1 year, a certain amount of time, he was going to destroy the Jews. The enemy of my soul had written a decree that at a certain amount of time, he was going to destroy me. And he tried four different times to kill me. In fact, my friend Karen Madison was with me on one of those times. Remember when we were T-bones, Karen, at that intercession? A big SUV T-boned a Ford that we were in. He was going 50 or 55 miles an hour. He ran a red light and slammed into us. And, I mean, whew. Yeah, broke a bone in my foot. I saw it coming. And this young man, he looked like he was about 20, 25, came running up to the car, the smashed car by the side of the road. He had a black T-shirt on, and the white letters, big white letters, it said Jesus. And he said, "I'm praying, I'm praying. Hold steady, ambulance is coming, I'm praying." I never saw him again after. Did you, Karen? He disappeared. I don't know where he went. What do you think he was? Absolutely. An angel. Right when the enemy's plan is reaching its culmination and he's going to take you down, somehow our wonderful Redeemer steps in. And he gives a plan to deliver you. He will deliver you. The enemy cannot defeat you. He cannot, he cannot, he cannot. He is defeated. He's just hoping you'll listen to him and lay down. Whoa. Listen. He was given power. He was given the ring. Right? He did have authority. And there is a season of time when the enemy comes against us, when he is allowed to come against us. Now, because of my makeup, I got really mad about that when I realized it was allowed. Boy, I wrestled my soul over that one. That was another one of those, well, I'm not going to put up with this. But I wrestled my soul because I know that God is good and that it is written, "I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Good plans. All things work together for good to those who love him, those who are called." How many of you are called? Amen. According to his purpose, all things. I made a big sign, all things. So the sign was bigger than these thoughts that were bombarding me. Where do you think the thoughts came from? The enemy of my soul. He thought he had delivered the killing blow that was going to take me down. And God gives me one scripture. All things work together for good. And I trusted his word. Trust his word. Yes, Esther wrestled for 3 days with her soul. She didn't want to do this. She wanted to run. And Mordecai said, "If you run, disaster would fall upon your house, your household. Listen, if you run, your household will pay the price. If you run, your children and your grandchildren will pay the price. Until one of them has the strength to stand up. If you don't win the victory now, they will have to fight that same battle tomorrow. So stand." And then Mordecai said to her, "Who knows but that you are called for such a time as this?" I want to tell you right now, God has said the state of Alaska is going to come into revival. He has said it's going to start in the north and sweep down across this land. He has said that every people group, every sphere, every part of society is going to be touched with this amazing outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We are on the brink of the greatest visitation of the Lord this land has ever seen. It will rock the land and it will impact the globe. Some of you will go to different nations. Some of you will die in other lands declaring the name of Jesus Christ. You have a homecoming that's awaiting you that has been in preparation from your birth. And that homecoming has millions of witnesses, including all of your kinsfolk that died born again, waiting for you, shouting and cheering for you to finish the race. Hold steady, run. Victory, victory, victory. We are right there. And that's where Esther was. And she wrestled 3 days of fasting. 3 days. Her maidens, those that were close to her, were fasting. And they're crying out, oh God, let Esther stand. Let Esther make it. Because if Esther did not make it, they wouldn't either. I'll tell you what, if I fall, consider this. The training God has given me, the assignment he's given me, if I fall, that will impact a lot of people. Not just in my family. It will impact people in my church. It'll impact people in my city. Not because I'm such a hotshot, but because of the anointing that God has put in me. The anointing in you cannot be lost. I'm jealous over that anointing. I want it saved for the kingdom. I don't want one of you to fall. We need you. We have to have you. Esther finally said, if I perish, I perish. All of you, at some point in your walk, will have to say to God, Father, I will obey. If I perish, I perish. That's when you realize victory doesn't always mean you come through live. Victory doesn't always mean that you get $1 million or win a lottery. Victory doesn't always mean the good things. Victory means you held on to your faith to the end. Come on. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, put that victor's heart inside every one of them, that they will hold on to their faith until the end, that they will not back down. They will step up to the plate and say, count me in. If I perish, I perish. I'm yours, Father. Let me obey. Help me to obey. Help me to obey. Amen. Now, as soon as she surrendered, the strategy came. Esther washes her face. That tells me she's been crying. I'd cry too. If I had to embrace possible death, some of you are going to embrace that. Come on. She washed her face. She was grieved. That word means she writhed in pain. This was not an easy decision. It means to shake with fear. She was afraid. It also means to worship with trembling. Worshiping anyway. Worshiping anyway. Do you know, when God first started using me with prophecy, I was terrified because I had fear of man big time. I was afraid. And I went up to the mic, and I was shaking so hard, I could hardly hold the mic. I heard one of the elders say, look at her. She's shaking. Because I was terrified, but I delivered the word anyway. I obeyed anyway. I responded anyway. Because I feared disobeying God more than I feared man. I feared displeasing God more than I feared displeasing the enemy. That's why I tell people, get a little chutzpah in you. A little mano-mano, you know. Stand up. Courage. Also known as guts. Where I come from. Okay. She finished trying to get out of the assignment and she surrendered. Her strategy, number one, she gathered the people to fast. Strategy number two, she changed her garment. And she waited until the king bid her to enter. That's in Esther 5. The king sees her waiting out there. She hasn't said a word. Do you know that we're in a waiting season right now? We are. God has called us to a waiting season. You look and see what the prophets are saying. Now, you're hearing many words about waiting. War words, yes, but this is not the time yet. God has been preparing us. Right now, we're waiting for the king. He sees her in the entryway. Now, if he hasn't invited her, she could easily be killed. Dangerous. You don't enter the throne room flippantly. When you are a child goes running in and climbs on daddy's lap. Once President John F. Kennedy was in his office in a very important meeting with heads of state, little John, who was about 4 at the time, threw the door open and came running in to the Oval Office and climbed on his daddy's lap to show him something. And his daddy stopped the meeting and listened to his little boy. That's what little boys do, little girls. When I was a child, I thought as a child. I even spoke as a child. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. Now I come into the presence of the Lord differently. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Right? Into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Surya nandoriya surya nandori surya nando. Lordya nandori. Lordya nandori. Holy one, holy one. Holy one, holy one. I begin to entreat him. I begin to love on him. I begin to tell him how wonderful he is. Sometimes I'll get so caught up in this place, I forget why I came. I forget what I was supposed to ask him. That's what happened with Esther. The king said, "What is it, Esther? What is your petition? I'll give you half the kingdom if you want." He was pleased with her. And she didn't just blurt out and say, "Yeah, that wicked Haman, go get him, God." Now, to be really honest, I used to be like that. You show me an evil spirit and I charge. Come on, let's go. Let's go get him. Some of you guys remember me from the early days. Da 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 da. Charge. Boy, I was leading the charge and we were slicing and hacking and chopping we made a mess. Right, Karen? But we won some powerful victories. We were bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. We were bold. But there came a time when we learned a different approach. We were maturing. Now I'm waiting because God said a battle is coming and it's a big one. And I'm listening and I'm waiting. Garments changed, washed face, quiet my spirit. Waiting for this. The scepter of authority. Then I'll come in. And I'll come in worshiping and thanking him. And I'll prepare a banquet for him. I've asked the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, let's prepare a banquet for the dad today, the father. Let's do something today that pleases him. Come on. Come on, let's do something. I can't do it alone. The Holy Spirit knows more than I do. And if I want to please the Father, who better to ask instructions from than my teacher? Right? Boy, the Holy Ghost is important to you. Be close to the Holy Spirit. Be good friends with him. Love on him. Laugh with him. Tell him jokes. You know he's got a sense of humor. He told me a joke one time and I rebuked him and then I realized who I was talking to. Then I repented. I'm sorry. But I was learning an intimacy with him. That back and forth. And I was relating to him according to my personality. when I love somebody, I love to tease them. I do. I'm teasing my friend Judith Green all the time because she's my baby sister. She's about 3 months younger than me. So I lord it over her that I'm the older sister and she has to mind me. Teasing. I do that with the Holy Ghost. Now, I have learned he's older than I am. And he's a whole lot smarter than I am. But boy, do I love him. Oh, Holy Ghost, I love you. I love you. I love the way you smell. Oh, it's like roses. I love the way you talk. Your voice is like music. I love the way you suddenly fill a room. I love the way you touch the hearts of people. I love the way you unlock revelation and suddenly cause me to see. I love that. Holy Ghost, I love that. I love it when you give me wisdom. Oh, how I love that. I love it, Holy Spirit, when you give me the answer. When I can't see the answer and suddenly you unfold it. Oh, I love that. You are wonderful. You are my teacher. You are my guide. Boy, do I love you. Whoa. She prepares a banquet. It's called Esther's banquet. I've prepared Mary's banquet. Have you ever prepared a banquet for the Lord? I'm going to give you a little suggestion. Now, guys, you're going to do this differently than I would, simply because of gender differences, which I love. I prepare a table. I get out the communion wine and the communion bread. I put on a worship tape. And I just sit and worship. And I invite him to come to my table I've prepared for him. He prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. When the enemy is coming against you real strong, prepare a communion table. It's a place of fellowship. It's a place when you come together as one. And it's a place of victory. When you surrender to his guidance and he takes over and fights your battle for you. Some of your battles, you must allow the Lord to fight for you. But make it a deliberate invitation to him. Father, come to my banqueting table. She did that one day, and Haman was invited. She knew Haman was the enemy, but she also knew the scriptures. In Psalm 23, thou preparest for me a banqueting table in the presence of mine enemies. So she invites her enemy to that table. Yeah, come on. She's not afraid. And of course, Haman thinks, oh, what a good boy am I. The queen has invited me, and I've found favor with the king and queen. And he sees all his political ambitions suddenly being satisfied. She invites him to the banqueting table a second time. Tomorrow, come tomorrow. Now, the king has already offered her half the kingdom. But she's waiting. She's wise. Take your time. Let God show you what to do. Keep notes. Invite him to that fellowship again, a second time. Now the king is totally besotted with her. Because, you know, the king has people asking him for things all the time. They all want him to do something for them. They all want money. They all want decisions in their favor. They all want whatever it is. Everybody's beating on the door for him to do something. She's serving him. She's trusting him. Strategy, wait. Second banquet, wait. He asks her again, what is your petition, Queen Esther? By now, he's willing to give her the kingdom. In the meantime, Haman goes out. He is bragging everywhere. His true identity is emerging. Do you know that people who have learned to sidle up to someone in authority, they always put their best foot forward? But there's always that other foot. But what you see is that best foot forward. But when it looks like they're going to have the victory, suddenly their true nature starts coming out. This is where, you know, that word Haman means alone. It means solitary. It means a rioter, a rager, a tumult. It also means, I thought this was interesting, well-disposed. Well-disposed means friendly, confident. People who are striving for position are friendly and confident. And you think, well, they're a good guy. Until their nature is exposed. He plots to destroy Haman. He has this huge scaffolding built. It was a huge thing, much bigger than they needed, because he wanted everybody to know that he was hanging his enemy for the public for everyone to see. Now, he was going to destroy Mordecai. Now, something interesting happens. God steps in. Between that first banquet and the second banquet, God stepped in. The king could not sleep. God took his sleep away. Now, I want to throw in a little. Now, this is my personal belief. Are you struggling with insomnia? You know, it is written, he gives his beloved sleep. If I'm struggling with insomnia, I thank the Lord that he has removed sleep from me. I say, Father, here I am. What do you want me to do? And I pray and I sing and I work a Sudoku puzzle and I read and I, you know, I'm listening and fingering the air for instruction. But I give him my sleeplessness. He removes sleep from the king. So the king decides to read. Middle of the night, bring me the Chronicles. And in the book, it just so happens, you know those just so happening things? Those are God, just so you know. The chronicle that's handed him is the story of Mordecai saving his life. And the king says, what has been done for Mordecai? Nothing. Listen, sometimes you are not recognized for something wonderful you've done. Sometimes you're not recognized because you've served and served and served and somebody else gets recognition. Sometimes you work for a boss who will not promote you. Sometimes you're not understood. Wait on God. He keeps the chronicles. He keeps the records. At the right time, at the right moment, someone will lose sleep. And in the middle of the night, the answer will come to them. And you will be vindicated. Trust the king. Come on, trust the king. So, the king calls Haman into his chambers, into his throne room. And he said, what should be done to the man whom the king desires to honor? Oh, and Haman, of course, being so self-promoting and arrogant, well, who else would the king want to promote but me? I am the deserving one. I am number two. I. You see, that's the enemy's voice. I will exalt myself above the Most High God. I will be worshipped. You see whose character he's carrying? So, of course, then the king tells Haman, you know, it's interesting. The very thing that Haman devised for his own promotion, the best thing of honor, the best way to honor himself, is given to Mordecai. He literally prophesied Mordecai's blessing. Out of the mouth of the enemy will come prophecy in your favor. And he doesn't even know what he's saying. He's out to kill you, and God uses him to prophesy a blessing. Woo! Isn't our God amazing? He is wonderful. Wow, he's great. How fun this is. Glory to God. So, Haman, the horse, the king's horse, he's given a number of things. When honor is set into motion, he's given royal clothes. God's going to change your garments, and you'll be clothed with the royalty. He's given a royal horse. Suddenly, his ministry, horse represents ministry. Suddenly, there's a kingly horse carrying you. You don't have to walk anymore. You're being carried by the king. And he's given a royal crown. There's authority and recognition put on your head. Now, Haman's wife and friends, in the meantime, are prophesying against Haman. If Mordecai is of the Jews, you will surely fall before him. Scares Haman. But he's invited to the king's chambers again. And he's scared now. He went in proudly the first two times. Now he's scared. The enemy is scared now. He's scared now. He's coming in, but he's afraid. He's afraid of you. He's afraid of what you will do. He's afraid of the king who has favored you. He's afraid of what's going to happen because he already knows he's defeated. He's even built the gallows for his own destruction. All of the work the enemy has been putting into to destroy your life will be used against him. And the king says again, "What is it, Esther? What is your petition?" And she says, "King, please deliver my people and me." Have you ever said that for your family? I have. I told the Lord, I come from a Haida lineage. Father, deliver my people. We are rebellious people. We are stiff-necked. We are stubborn. We are blind. We are helpless. We are bound. Deliver me and my people. Deliver my church. My church can't see. They're dull as a brick. They're half of them are asleep. They're playing little. Deliver my church. Deliver my city. Father, there are rascals in charge of our city. Deliver, deliver my city. Father, deliver my state. Alaska's one of the darkest states in the Union. Deliver our state. Father, our oil fields are drying up. People are out of jobs. And I mean, terrible things are going on. Earthquakes are shaking us. Deliver our state, oh God. Deliver us, Father. If we've found favor in your sight, will you not deliver us? Will you not set us free? Will you not set us free from the north and the south? Remember what you said about Alaska. I'm standing on the basis of your word. You said that Alaska would be delivered. You said that we would be full of the Holy Ghost. You said you would shake us with your Holy Ghost power. You said you'd fill us with fire. You said you'd save our people. Therefore, from the north to the south, to the east to the west, save every people group, every structure, every sphere, every culture, every gender. Save them all, Father. I'm claiming them all in the name of Jesus Christ. And then the enemy is pleading, don't pray this big prayer. Stop it. That's too big. He falls upon her couch trying to plead for mercy. Show no mercy to the enemy. Pray big prayers. Father, destroy that wicked spirit that has come against my family. Destroy that spirit of addiction. Destroy that spirit, Lord. No mercy. Destroy that one that's after my grandchildren. Destroy that one that's after my spouse. Destroy them, Father. Destroy them. Destroy. And of course, The battle was engaged at that point. Esther and Mordecai are given authority. They write decrees. It's time to decree. It's time to declare the victory. It's time to say, stand up and fight. And I'm speaking to Alaska right now. Alaska, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get to your feet and start fighting. Get to your feet and start decreeing. Get to your feet and start declaring. Get to your feet and start claiming. Get to your feet. Hold no fear. Get to your feet. What do you need? Begin to decree it now. I come against that spirit of suicide. I bind it in the name of Jesus. You get out of here now in Jesus' mighty name. I come against that spirit of political manipulation. I bind it now in Jesus' mighty name. I come against that deceiving spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, you begin to decree. You begin to decree what is troubling your household. Begin to decree, because the edict has been written, the authority has been given, and the battle is engaged, and you already have the victory. Begin to decree now. What is it? What is it? What is it? Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. You have the victory. Write it in your Bible. Put it in your car. You have the victory. Decree it every day. From this day forward, from this day forward, this is my victory. And decree it, and decree it, and decree it. The authority is granted you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go ahead and clap your hands. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. Jesus, 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 Jesus. There is victory in the room. There is victory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Yes. If you want, you can sit down. I'm going to talk to you for a little bit, but you can stand up in your heart, though. Stand up on the inside. You know what? Right here inside of me, something has risen up. Something has changed. I've stepped to another level in who He's created me to be as a man of God. And I know in this room that you've stepped into a new level of who He's created you to be as a man and a woman of God. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. That is just a part of the anointing of an apostle. And I honor Mary as an apostle. She is my friend. But I honor her as my apostle and as apostle of this state because she's come to deliver a word to cause us to grow up and take our place. To grow up and take our place in his kingdom. We are sons and daughters and we are special. No enemy in hell can speak to us and say, you're less than. Because we are a child, we are sons and daughters of the King. And we need to walk in that. And you know what? Part of walking in that, we have to defend each other. When people are speaking about the ones that we love, putting them down and letting any old thing, every idle word, every words that have no purpose in God. Sometimes it's our responsibility to defend. And I know this. I love you, Mary, and I will defend you. I will defend you throughout this whole state because of who God has created you as a gift to our state. And I will not let people talk to me and speak to me and try to say, oh, she's this, she's that. No. She is a servant of the Most High God, and I honor my apostle. Yeah, go ahead. This is a new day. This is a new day for Alaska. And we are all a part of this together. We are all a part of this together. We're a part of his kingdom. We are in alliance together. And we're spreading out all over this state. Because this is, there are people that are represented here from all over the state. So we're networking out and doing this together. Let's keep going. Did you hear that intercession? Powerful intercession that took place here today. You know what? You are his intercessors. You are intercessors in the kingdom. And I just encourage you, come out tonight. Come here early. Pray throughout the day. You know, it starts at 7, come here at 6:30 and release prayer, release intercession in this place. Because our state needs this breakthrough. We are in a time of waiting, but in our waiting, we're going to prepare the way. We're going to prepare the way. Walt, I was just sitting over there and I saw this engine, and I saw a hand come down, just crank on this cord, and the engine started up, and then I heard it revving, and that engine had a lot of pep to it. And what I was hearing the Lord say is that he's revving you up. He says, you've been walking with him and doing his will. And even at times when it's been hard and it just seems like a struggle, you've still been walking with the Lord. And he says, in this season, in this hour, he's going to rev you up. He's going to strengthen you. And the hills that you've had to climb before that were so stressful, the spiritual hills, he says, he's going to be the one that's going to give you the power and the ability to walk up those hills almost like it was flat ground. And he says that what you've been doing, he's going to empower you to keep on doing. I don't know all that you do or anything like that, but I know this. I just thank you for the help that you've given me in our ministry in the past. And I want to thank you for that. And I know that the Lord is saying thank you also. Bear with us.
And Pastor Tim and Martha, the Lord calls you faithful. The Lord calls you faithful in his kingdom. You are his servant. You are a servant of the Most High God. And the Lord has seen the years where you have laid yourself down on the altar. You have literally laid yourself on the altar. And you have laid yourself before the Lord. And you wept and wept and wept. And you cried out, remake me, remold me, remake me, remold me. And the Lord says that I have remade you. I have reshaped you for my kingdom purposes. He drew you out of many waters, and he will throw you back into even the multitudes. He says that the past is the past, and you have been found faithful, faithful, faithful. And I see your ministry growing. I see it growing. I don't know exactly where you, I believe you minister out of your house, but he says he is causing your ministry influence to grow and increase. And I see him throwing you into the multitudes and to the masses. He says the work that he has done in you is so profound and so authentic that the church needs what you have. The American church needs what you have, because it is deep, it is wide, it is such an authentic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Your soul follows closely behind the Holy Spirit, and your soul is so entwined with the Holy Spirit, it's like you don't even want to move an inch to the left or inch to the right without the Holy Spirit, because you know what it's like to move out of his will and out of his time. And the Lord says, because you have fallen headlong on the mercy seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is raising you up for such a time as this. He is raising you up, and he will throw you into the mass. I just see him just like throwing you into the masses, and your influence will be far and wide. Your influence will be far and wide, because you know it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And you will cause the American church to return back to her first love. The American church has gone sideways. And the Lord will use your voice to return the church back to her first love. It oozes out of you. And the Lord says, get ready, son. Get ready, for I am bringing you out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Karen Madison, I was just hearing the Lord say that he is coming and strengthening you. It's like I see a fire that's enveloped around you. And it's not the kind of fire that is like, oh, this is going to hurt type of thing. That's not it. It's his Holy Spirit that's welling up inside of you. And he says that there's a new season of service that he has for you, that he is going to step you in and step you out into his season of service. And it's a new season where he's going to partner with you. He's going to walk with you, and he's going to promote you. And his life-giving spirit is going to flow in you, in your body, and through you out to others. Just reach out your hand to those ones and touch them, because his virtue is going to flow out of you by his Holy Spirit.
And I see you doing like circle dances, Karen, along with others. The Lord is linking you up with others who's going to know how to do intercession in a different way. You're going to know how to do intercession in a different way. Watch and see how I link you up with those who are like-minded as you. And it won't be as in the past, but it's a new day and it's a new way. Hallelujah. And it's fun. People, it can be fun. Amen. Amen. So I see you doing circle dances. Just, there's music playing and you're dancing. Hey, this is intercession. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And your praise is your praise is making the enemy crazy. Because you're doing intercession in a new way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord God. God, even for the North Country, Lord God. Lord, I just see you doing a new thing in the North Country, the Northwestern country. Thank you, Lord. There's a change coming in the Northern region, Papsianiva. I just see a little shaking going on, but don't be afraid of the shaking. Don't be afraid of God. God doing the shaking out of even natural governmental leaders, and he's shifting in and putting in new ones, because it's about the natural governmental leaders and the spiritual governmental leaders. He's doing a shaking and a sifting out, and he's putting in and setting in new. The Lord says, I put in and I take out. I put in and I take out. So don't be surprised at who steps out and who comes in. He says that you will become even more bold to speak the word of the Lord. And I see you just rising up in a new way of praying even before your meetings. And it's going to be bold. It's going to be full of boldness, but it's going to be full of conviction. It's going to be bold, but it'll be full of conviction of the Lord. Not in a way of condemnation, of course not. But in a way of the Lord, the Holy Spirit himself is going to bring conviction, and he's going to bring correction to some things that you know about. I just see like what you call that table, board table. Boardroom. I see like a boardroom, and I see you guys praying in this boardroom, and suddenly the Lord brings conviction and he brings the correction. The Lord himself will bring the correction that is necessary for this time and this season. Amen.
Isn't this fun? It's fun. You know, it was just a powerful session this morning when we pulling on the anointing of a person and saying, yes, Lord, I receive the anointing. I receive what you've created this person to be. And we receive that apostle's anointing this morning. And Eleanor, she is my best friend. This is my wife. That's her. Tomorrow I'm going to be receiving her as a prophet in Alaska. Did you hear her prophesying today? Tomorrow, let's receive that anointing, because it's going to be powerful. Tomorrow, Saturday, you know, I just have to say this. I like you. And if you would like us on Facebook, that'd be great. You know what? Eleanor was showing me her phone last night, and there's some people on there that are some really quick Facebook posters. There was videos of Judy on there and just pictures of Judy Jacobs on there. I mean, it was, you know, we just got outside the service and we're watching this on Facebook. You know what? We can become a kingdom force in Alaska and getting out the word. And you're posting? Keep doing it. do it. Get the word out and let's become a kingdom force in Alaska for the Lord, for God, for what he's doing in Alaska. There's a sign up. If you don't get our emails, just sign up in the back on the table out there. We'll send you the meetings. We'll let you know when the next one is, and we'll partner together. You know, all these meetings that, you know, with Judy and the people we bring up, you know, there's airfare. We give honorariums. You know, one of the things that Mary says, a workman's worthy of his hire, our praise and worship band, they're giving their time. They're giving a part of their life to us for the kingdom, and we value them as well. Our sound people, all of that. And so we give them an honorarium as well. It's for the kingdom. It's for what he's doing in Alaska. So invite somebody. There's people that need this. There's friends that need this. There's a family member that you may have not even talked to very much. And that family member needs this. We had a family member, Eleanor and I, that just kept on inviting us to a revival to hear this prophet. And we didn't even know what a revival was or what a prophet was. And sooner or later, we just said, okay, we'll go. Invite somebody to come. God bless you. Father, I just thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, for giving your angels charge over every person here. God, go with them. Bless their day. And God, we come back to be with you this evening. Thank you for strengthening Judy and Julie, her assistant. God, meet with them today. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.